Want to again, excuse me, greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I've titled my message this morning, Living Faith. And I have a goal this morning for us to understand that living faith is vital and is active. Somebody tell me what the word vital means. It's important, necessary, can't do without, it's essential. Living faith, can't do without, is essential, it's very important, and is active. So I'd like to look at those this morning. And by the way, this message was based out of the book of James, which I just started. We're going to use some other scriptures this morning. We'll come back to James again. But I'm finding that the subject of faith is so huge, it's not going to stay with just this message this morning. We're going to branch out a little bit more after this in some other messages. So I'd like for you this morning to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. And we've heard this morning, in different times, I heard mentioned something about pain. As a body here, there's different ones here that are experiencing pain, have experienced pain. When we look at the Hebrew people, the writer here was talking to a people that had experienced a lot of pain. There was a lot of persecution that was happening. So that's where he's coming from. In Hebrews 10, verse 32 is where we're going to begin. That's where we're going to start. We're going to be thinking about these people that have suffered a lot of pain. They've gone through a lot of persecution. And they're almost ready to throw in the towel. About had enough. Let's begin in verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. So they have been illuminated. They understood the gospel. And they were in that fight. But it says they endured. Verse 33, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. Am I coming through? Okay, thank you. So there was a part here, a time here, where they were looked at in a negative way. And there were others that were in this same, some of their friends, probably the church body, that were in this same struggle, and they became companions of them. They were with them. Paul, or the writer actually says in verse 34, then he says, for he had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Then he says in verse 35, an encouragement here, he says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Don't throw out where you've been, your belief, your faith, which hath great recompense of reward. There's a reward coming. Don't toss it out. For ye have need of patience. At this point, he's saying you need patient endurance. Stick with it. That after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. He is coming. But now, he says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If you're not living by faith, you're not part of him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition or destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So he's telling them, we're not part of that group that's going to turn back. We're going to stay strong. Maybe that's the encouragement we need to give each other from time to time. Stay strong. We face so many trials, so many struggles in this life. Sometimes we have the idea, in fact, with probably some of us might even have told somebody, if you just give your heart to Christ, things are going to change. It's going to be so good. Everything's going to be beautiful. But sometimes, probably all the time, that's the beginning of struggles. Because Satan does not like somebody that's walking with God. It's not all a bed of roses. There's a lot of thorns. Let's go to verse 1 of chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Back to verse 1 out of chapter 11. I spent a lot of time this week chewing on this verse, and I'm still not sure I got to the bottom of it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And there's a lot of different ideas of what this verse means, but this is where I came to. Faith is the substance. Faith is the assurance that we have of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen, the conviction or the proof. And we'll look at that as we continue here. But if we think about faith as being the substance or the assurance, when I believe in something, when I believe something's going to happen, there's something within me, my faith, rests assured that that's going to take place. Let me give you a little example. This is kind of a poor example, but it's an example. When I want to contact Alyssa and Skylar in Thailand, actually I contacted Chad this week. I use WhatsApp. So if I want to contact them, I'll put the message in with their number in it, and I'm going to send that message, and I believe that message is going to go to them. I have faith that it will. Because it's proven itself, hasn't it? When we have faith that God is going to do something, we normally have confidence, or do we? This is what I want to really look at this morning. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So why is faith so important? Let's drop on down to verse 6. Because sometimes I believe we have the idea as a Christian believer, as a believer in Christ, I can live life. Maybe my faith doesn't have to be that strong. Go down to verse 6. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What does the word impossible mean? Can't be done. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Can I please God without faith? Without believing that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If I don't believe that Christ is, that He is my Savior, that He exists, why am I praying to Him? If I don't believe that He's going to answer, the end of that verse, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, am I going to continue to come to God, and am I going to continually ask Him to fulfill my prayers that I seek if I don't believe He's going to answer? Some questions for us to think about. That He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So it's impossible to please God without faith. Having confidence in the author of faith. Believing that what God has said is true. And I'm going to say something here. I had a hard time coming to the place of actually saying this. But I want us to think about faith. And that God is the author of faith. Make sure I get this said right. I believe that God is. Let's just come from where I'm at. I believe that God is, that God exists. And I believe that He is the Savior for me. and for you. But if I don't have faith in Him and what He says, we have His Word here in front of us this morning. And as a matter of fact, this is where a lot of us are at today in our churches. We have His Word, but we really don't believe what's said in His Word. We like to pick and choose what makes me feel good. So if I don't want to believe something, I'm going to kind of bypass that. And I'm not going to believe it. So let's go back again. If I don't have faith, if I'm not believing what God has said in His Word, if I don't believe that what He said is truth, what do I make God?
A liar.
I make Him a liar. I get chills when I think about that. Do I believe that God is truth? Is my heart set on the fact that what He says is real? The promises He gives us are going to be fulfilled. When He says sin is sin, do I believe it? Or do I have another way to go around that to say, no, it's just something bad? Not a big deal. So if I don't believe Him, there's something else I want us to think about. If I really don't believe what He has to say, what am I telling Him when I come to Him and I honor Him? If I don't really believe what He says, faith. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2. I'd like to read some out of James chapter 2 here. And this talks some more about faith. And now we're starting to include works, and I want to be very clear right up front here this morning. Harold gave us some very clear direction the last time he preached, and we've heard it across this pulpit many times, that our works will not give us salvation. We can work for salvation as long as we want to, and we cannot attain salvation by our works. But I want to make it clear that because we love God, because we have salvation, we will have works. We will have works. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Sorry, I should have given that. James 2, 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister, and here gives us an example. He says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Think about this. We have somebody that comes in and that knocks at our door. We go out to the door, we answer, there's somebody standing there that is not properly dressed. They got holes in their clothes, they're hungry. You can tell that they're not doing well. It's cold outside. Right now it's cold out. Let's imagine somebody came to our door like that. And we walked up to them, we looked them up and down, and said, yeah, you really have some needs, don't you? Matter of fact, we go out, we lay our hands on them, and we pray for them. God, would you please bring them some clothes? Would you give them some food? And then we tell them, God bless you, and we send them on their way. We have faith that you're going to find clothes, that you're going to find food, but we don't do anything about it. Friends, we're the hands and feet of Jesus. This is where works comes in. I believe God begins to work when our hands and our feet begin to move. So many times we like to pray about something, we desire to do or not to do something, but to think about something good that could happen, but we're not willing to step in and believe that when God moves us, what we do is going to begin a process. Am I making sense? Are you with me? Even so, faith, verse 17, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. I gave the example here a while back of faith and works. And I'm going to give that example again this morning. Let's imagine I have a kayak up here this morning. I'm sitting in that kayak and I have two paddles, probably better a canoe because a kayak has one. It could be both sides too. But let's imagine I have a canoe up here this morning. I'm sitting in this canoe and one paddle is faith and the other one is works. If I use faith, I'm going to spin in circles. That's all that's going to happen. I'm just going to circle. If I use works, I'm going to do the exact same thing, just the opposite direction. Faith and works have to work together. We use both of them, we're going to go somewhere. That's what God desires of us. Let's go to verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed. The word imputed, it was put on his account. It was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Then he gives us another example, verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Then verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We understand that very clearly. A body, a person that has died, the spirit has gone, the body is dead. So faith without works is dead also. There is no life. Turn to Genesis chapter 22. Let's look at an example. This is a story I've used different times. It's a very familiar story. And I think it's good that we continue to use this story. Abraham and his son Isaac. I want us to notice this morning, as we go through this, Abraham was given something to do that was extremely difficult. But we can say, yeah, it was Abraham. Because we can see in Scripture how great Abraham was. That's the reason Abraham was able to do this. Can I say no? Abraham was a man, a human being like the rest of us here. Yes, God had a call on his life, and so he does on your life. You also have a call on your life. But can I say this morning that how we are willing to give ourselves to Christ. How we are willing to let go of me. See, He is to be made greater. I'm to be made less. And as we put that into play into our lives, I believe things begin to happen. Chapter 22 of Genesis. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or God was trying Abraham to prove him. And he said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. Abraham was in tune with God. He caught that right away. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Let's back up. If we go back earlier, God had made a covenant with Abraham. God had told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. God had told Abraham, you're going to be a man. Putting in my own words, a man of great offspring. You're going to be a great nation. Abraham and Sarah didn't have a child until she was 90 and he was 100. They had Isaac. Imagine that. Their child was extremely precious to them. This was the child that God had said, I'm going to make you a great nation out of Isaac. And now God is coming to Abraham and he's telling him, I want you to take Isaac, your only son. Not only your only son, look what else he says in here. Whom thou lovest. It's like putting a little bit more coal on the fire, isn't it? Take your son whom you love. And I want you to take him to Mount Moriah, about 50 miles away. And I want you to offer him there for a burnt offering. How did these burnt offerings turn out? Wasn't much left. I want you to take your son, and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. He got together with the people from his congregation. They had a committee, and they got together, and they decided, how can we get past this? Is there a way that we cannot use my son? It doesn't say that. That's how we would like to look at it, isn't it? Is there another way? Is there another way so I don't have to use my son as this sacrifice? And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. I don't know how Abraham felt at that time, but I almost shake thinking about it. But Abraham obeyed because of his faith in God. Abraham knew that God was going to answer, that God was going to supply. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, verse 4, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Let's look at the next phrase. This is the highlight of this verse here. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. What was Abraham saying? My God is so big. I believe so strongly in my God. And we can see this in another scripture. Hebrews 11 talks about this. But I believe so strongly in my God, even if he dies, God can raise him back up and give him back to me. That's my God. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife. And they went both of them together. Now we got Isaac noticing what's going on. I have no idea how old Isaac was. There's different ideas about this. But now we have Isaac starting to pay attention. Something's going on here. Verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, Dad, look, we got wood, we got fire. Something's missing. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. God will provide a lamb. Challenge you this week to take that verse and dwell on that verse for a while. God will provide a lamb. Let's go to verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built there an altar, and he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. No committees. Nobody here to tell Abraham there is another way. We can find you a lamb. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. How strong was Abraham's faith? What did Abraham do that triggered action from God? There's a word I'm looking for here this morning. What did Abraham do that triggered action from God? I think I heard it. He obeyed. Abraham obeyed because he knew his God. Abraham obeyed because God had proved himself to him. Has God proved himself to you? Have you given God opportunity to prove himself to you? Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. I can't imagine how he felt here. But he heard God, he heard this angel right away. He said, Here I am. Was his hand up here ready to go down on him? I'm not sure. But he said, Here I am. And the angel said this, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, he took the ram, and I'm putting this into my own words, he went and he took the son, he untied the son, he ties up the ram, together they took this, and they sacrificed, and I can't imagine the joy. As the two of them probably knelt at the altar and they worshiped God. Because God had provided a lamb for the offering. Abraham's faith. Let's go back to verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And I want us to direct our thinking for a little bit. We also deserved death, didn't we? We all deserved death. But there was a lamb provided for us too. Jesus Christ coming and giving his life for us, taking that place on the cross for us so that we can have freedom. So we have the opportunity to have faith and believe in a God that has saved us. I want to read three verses out of Hebrews 11 yet. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he had received him in a figure. Basically, he's saying here that, yeah, it's just like he was dead, because that's how Abraham believed. How's my faith this morning? Is it a faith that is dormant? Or is my faith alive this morning? Do I believe that God's going to do what he said he's going to do? God always keeps his promises. If we read it in the Word, and we know that it's so. God has given us promises in His Word. If I have faith, and if my feet and my hands have put that into action, God is going to keep His promises. So I was studying this. I had to think of the many times that I had opportunity to believe God and I didn't. And God didn't answer, so I had something else to blame. God just didn't do it because, well, you know what. But I challenge us this morning, let's have faith. And let's have action. Let's put this faith into action. Let's move. Let's allow God to work amongst us, amongst our community. One of the great reasons that we don't have this faith, that we don't have this confidence in God, is because we don't have relationship with God. First part of James 4:8, and then we're going to close. James 4:8 says this. He says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Can we say that in simple English? Come closer to God. Come closer. Seek Him. He'll come close to you. He tells us that if we seek Him, He's going to be there. He'll be found. If we knock, He'll open. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? Father, we thank you so much for your attentiveness. I could sense that you were paying attention. That makes it a lot easier for us as ministers to share the word. God bless you. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much this morning for faith. Lord, so many times we need you to strengthen our faith. Lord, I pray that this morning that we wouldn't leave here with the idea, I've got faith, that's enough. We know, Lord, we can't be saved by working. But Lord, because we love you, because of the faith that we have in you, Lord, we're excited to work for you. We're excited to make that an action. And I pray, Lord, this week, as we go throughout our week, Lord, each one of us here would allow you to test us, to try us, to see if there's any wicked way in us that we can be made clean. Lord, that our faith can be strong and you can move because we're willing. Thank you so much for giving us eternal life. We bless you. We honor you. Would you dismiss us with your blessing? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.